We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Welcome to the program today. Alex McFarland along with Bert Harper. This is the American Family Radio Network. And I'll begin by giving a little justification for what we're doing this week. In 2 Timothy 4:3, speaking of the last days, it says, "For the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And where we are in relation to that, only the Lord fully knows. But more than ever, we believe the church needs sound doctrine, biblical teaching. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. And Bert and I this week, in addition to taking calls and questions, we're going over some of the issues that listeners have raised in recent weeks. The authenticity of the Bible, the authority of the Bible, and yes, moral issues, things like marriage, sexuality, gender. And Bert, we want to give people what thus saith the Lord, don't we? The sound doctrine in a time of innumerable opinions. We want to give biblical truth, don't we?
We really do. The Bible makes it plain what truth is. It's not my truth or your truth. It is who God, what God says, who God is. Jesus said, "I am the truth." That's who he is. It's just not he's truthful. He is the truth. And from that, we get truths, and they're connected to him. And those truths have to do with our gender. It has to do with marriage. And so we had one specific caller talking about a pastor that she talked to, and she was saying that he said the Bible was evolving. We took care of that, talked about that. But also said Adam was gender neutral. And listen, I think the Bible says male and female created he them, you know, Alex. So there's some definiteness about the Bible. And today we also have a guest. You want to introduce, he's sitting by me, but I wanted you to have the privilege of introducing him. That way he's here in the studio with me, but you're going to tell everybody who it is.
Well, you know, probably about 5 years before, about 5 years ago, before COVID had come along, we did one of our conferences, one of our Truth for New Generation conferences, and one of the people there on behalf of AFR was M.D. Perkins. And I have come to trust M.D. Perkins as a solid scholar. I read what he writes in The Stand and the AFA Journal. But a couple of years ago, he published a book called Dangerous Affirmation, and it really addressed the church's suddenly kind of, I would say, lowering the standards theologically, beginning to affirm same-sex marriage and the LGBTQ ideology. And Bert, I'll tell you, even a couple of weeks ago, I was teaching a college class, and I just wanted to make sure that I was correct on some certain theological and philosophical issues. I called MD. He is a resource. He is an absolutely biblical and trustworthy theologian and philosopher, and he's part of the AFR staff. And I knew to weigh in and give clarity and facts on these important issues, he would be a good voice to have. So, MD, I want to thank you for being with us on Exploring the Word today, but even in a much larger sense, thank you for being a voice of truth in the times in which we live.
Well, thank you, brother. It's good to be with you, and I hope I can live up to a fraction of what you've just said about me. So thank you.
Hey, listen, MD, we appreciate you, brother. He works for American Family Studios. Now, when you work here, You may be called on to work in another department in an area.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens quite often. It does, you notice that, MD? And so we appreciate you being on with us today. And again, we're talking about wokeness. We're talking about even getting it into the pulpit. Let me say another term for this, and this is the biblical term, false prophets, false teachers.
That's right.
That's exactly what we're looking at. And they'll think, wokeness, oh, where's that? Well, we know that, but the Bible is false teachers. And seems like, Alex and MD, I want you to go first, we have false teachers all along since the Bible began in each generation. The subjects may change, but what they do, they go different than what God has set the standard for. And in our day, it's identity in creation, our identity in redemption. It's a big issue today, isn't it?
It's a major issue. And, I mean, like you said, this is not a new problem that's just recently emerged in the church. Obviously, you have all the pastoral epistles immediately warning people about the rise of false doctrine, heresies entering into the church. Now, we recognize some people teach doctrine malevolently, and some people do so ignorantly. But either way, it's still destructive to the sheep of the church, and that's what we're trying to protect against here.
MD, let me ask you this. All through the Old Testament era, marriage, certainly in the Jewish culture, marriage was viewed as between a man and a woman. In the New Testament era, even Jesus himself said, "For this cause will a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." So you've got Jesus ordaining heterosexual monogamy, one man, one woman, not homosexual marriage, not polyamorous multiple marriages, but one man, one woman from one father, one mother. Then for 2,000 years of the Western world, church history, for time immemorial, the foundation stone of civilization was the family.
Yeah.
A father, a mother, a husband and wife. Suddenly, in the last 15, 20 years, we've decided that we could redefine marriage, declassify that which is sin. The Bible is clear. So here's my question, MD. Does the culture at large or the church have any legitimate basis for nullifying all of history and clear scriptural teaching? Do we have the right to say, okay, that never mind anymore, that's not a sin anymore, we'll redefine marriage, we'll redefine what sin is? Do we have any legitimate basis for doing that?
No, it's one of those issues that has arisen because doubts have been posed, and little pieces of erosion have taken place that have questioned the biblical authorship first. And then once you begin to question the authorship, then it's, well, maybe what the text says itself is not as certain as we had once assumed. And then you start to raise questions about the interpretation of the text. And so all of these things kind of build on each other, or rather deconstruct, maybe a better word for it, because that's so much of this postmodern philosophy is all about deconstructing things that had been built previously on solid foundations, and then you begin to undercut it by doubts and questions that, you know, like you said, for thousands of years, none of this was a question in church history. But then interestingly, 1955, the first time any biblically sounding author had posed any sort of question to the teaching regarding sexuality. And it's interesting to know that that didn't just emerge because of people trying to study the text themselves. It emerged because of political questions that were happening in Parliament, whether or not to undercut sodomy laws that existed within Britain at that point. And so you have this Church of England ethicist who writes a book that then begins to open the door for this, and then other scholars who were also doubting God's word begin to jump on, and then off we go.
And another thing that they do is words. And Alex, you and I got on this Monday talking about words really do have meaning. And if you guys, and I'd love for you to speak to it, MD, they'll talk about it's not necessarily sex, it's gender.
Yeah.
They want, the assigned sex is there, but your gender is fluid.
Right.
Have you heard that argument?
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to say. I feel like. And so they're making gender feeling, although sexual, is biological, obvious. So they're trying to muddy the water and trying to make that which is exceptional the norm, and that's what they've done. And they call it gender fluidity.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, is that really the term gender used to only apply to language, and the use of different words being gendered either male or female in terms of its use. You know, we don't have that as much in English as some of the other Latin languages, but then it kind of gets brought in and kind of adopted within this whole concept of sex and sexuality and the need to separate somehow sex from gender in order to accomplish some of these larger social goals. And what's interesting, too, is that now you're even having biologists claim that sex is fluid. Yeah. And so even the term gender that seemed to indicate somehow this internal state of being, now even something that seemed more definitive, there are certain biologists who are trying to claim some kind of new category of sexual fluidity, of, you know, sex as regarding kind of gender, male or female. So it's just crazy.
Well, I'm just going to say this, that I think that this is almost an example of man trying to be God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to resist the Holy Spirit and sin. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie, but people tell lies. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal, but people do steal. But this thing of this idea that I can create my own reality, my truth for me, you know, somebody's born a male, but they can identify and in their mind think they're a female and it must be reality. I think this is a spiritual issue that fallen humans are trying to be their own God. Yeah. Would you agree, MD?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the categorization given in Romans 1 of being given over. And the more that you embrace these kinds of things, the more the Lord gives you over to it. And I think I would love to hear your thoughts on this. You know, I think of it in terms almost like the Tower of Babel, where where with all of our increased forms of communication and the ability to even cross over certain language barriers and things now with AI and all of these different things, it's interesting that even with all of that, that there is this degrading of language and meaning and understanding where even we seem to have the same words, but we're not using them in the same way. And so that ability to communicate, to try and defy God and throw off his shackles from us as a society, God is even kind of putting a stop to that in some of these conversations.
And when you go ahead, Alex. Yeah.
Let me say this. I'm going to throw it back to you, Bert. Folks, if you're just tuning in, Bert and I are talking with MD Perkins about the issues of gender, sexuality, homosexuality. Two great resources, and they are tremendous. One is Dangerous Affirmation, an incredibly thorough, well-written book by MD Perkins, and then a video that, I'm not kidding, it's truly a piece of art, and it's called In His Image. And it's about God, our Creator, male and female, made in the image of God. And guys, help me out here. The website, the video In His Image, which I would encourage people to show at churches and show it in your home to people, help people. And then the book, Dangerous Affirmation. Bert, where could they get these?
Well, they can go to Resource Center, AFA Resource, and I was just looking it up, and they're available.
Yes,
and
sir.
They can get them. But let me say one more thing, and we've got 30 seconds. And this really helps you to know about Dangerous Affirmation and In His Image. Another video that the studio did is The God Who Speaks.
Yes.
Why can we depend on In His Image? It's because of God's Word.
Absolutely.
God's Word settles it. Whether history promotes it or not, God's Word settles it.
Yeah.
We're going to be back right after this. MD, going to stay with us?
Sure.
We'll come back with more. Don't go away. This is Exploring the Word. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now, that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Oh, yes, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a great song to bring us back with here on Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. Our guest is M.D. Perkins. You know, before the break, Bert mentioned the documentary, The God Who Speaks. Daryl Bach is in that, Josh McDowell. One of the last appearances by the late, great Norman Geisler, brilliant scholar. Ben Witherington, Frank Turek, a lot of great people. The God Who Speaks is a wonderful documentary about how the Bible is the Word of God. It is absolutely trustworthy. It's more than just trustworthy. It's authoritative. And MD, for all the production you've done, the writing, the scholarship, the directing of great documentaries, I just want to say thank you, brother, because you're helping people understand truth and stand up for it, and we feel very privileged that you're with us on Exploring the Word today.
Well, amen. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to serve the Lord's people in that way, too. It was not what I envisioned when I went to film school, but, you know, the Lord has a plan and a purpose, and I'm grateful for it.
Now, amen. We were talking about this. Okay, some things do happen. Okay, yeah, that makes sense, but sometimes things happen because it was planned. I want to ask you a question, and then I want you to answer why, because I already know the answer. Why in the God Who Speaks before in His image?
Well, the reason was everything has to be built on the foundation of the authority of God's Word. And so, yes, that was very intentional. When we were thinking about projects that we needed to make, and AFA leadership said, we really need something that deals authoritatively with the Scriptures. And interestingly, there really hadn't been a project that had pulled all those pieces together in that way. And so we were grateful for that opportunity, and we knew it gave us a branching out point for then whatever else we would want to tackle in the future, you know, whether it's gender and sexuality, whether it's even now working on a project about Don Wildman and the founding of AFA. I mean, everything Don did was founded on the Bible as God's holy and inerrant word. So, yeah, we had to make that our starting point.
MD, several years ago, and I know this was probably in the late 80s when I was a brand new believer, there were a couple of books that came out, and I'm not going to mention the title or the author because I really don't want to give them any PR, but there were some books that tried to argue that the Bible, not only did it not condemn homosexuality, the Bible actually affirmed homosexuality, these books said. Yeah. Now, these books are false. They do a horrible job of twisting up the Word of God. But now, I mean, there are hundreds of similar books. Help us understand that to try to legitimize homosexuality, legitimize transgenderism, there have been some writers, I'm not going to call them scholars, but they have absolutely distorted and twisted God's Word to try to legitimize something that we know is wrong, and we shouldn't be deceived. We should not go with just the spirit of the hour, the spirit of the times. God's Word is clear about right and wrong, male and female, truth versus error. And we should not be misled by pop scholarship of the moment, should we?
No, I mean, that's, you said it exactly. I mean, You have to twist, you have to distort, you have to introduce lies and deceptive arguments into the mix in order to make it say what it clearly doesn't say. And there has been no question as to what the scripture teaches regarding homosexual behavior and homosexuality. And by extension, you know, you can add transgenderism and presenting yourself as a woman or as a man if you are the opposite sex. So, you know, there's a great African preacher named Conrad Mbewe who said, you know, talking about false teaching, you twist the scripture until you force it to confess a lie. And that is really what happens in these cases where you're taking real words and statements that are there and you're bringing in limited aspects of historical context to try and undercut what is the clear meaning, to try and get toward a clear goal of what you want people to think about it. And that's the lie and the deception that's taking place there.
Well, one thing you want to do is go back to the early, when it was started, how it was started. So I want to go back to Genesis just for a while for some Bible study. And this is plain, Genesis chapter 1. He created him male and female, two distinct, one and the other, not both and, but either or. And then it says that God did this, that and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree good and its pleasant. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. This is where God placed the man. Verse 15 of chapter 2. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you shall eat, you shall surely die. Now listen to the rest. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And that's when he made Eve. And I know everyone knows that. But this is what it says, that God made the man, okay? Male and female created he them. And so we had the caller who said that the word Adam was gender neutral. The reason I thought of this, bringing it up now, because MD, you said they have to twist the scripture.
Yeah.
To make this anything other than male Adam,
right,
female Eve, they've twisted everything, haven't they?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up Genesis because, you know, when we talk about homosexuality, one of the things that gets thrown at you as a Christian, if you're debating someone on this, they'll tell you, well, you're just using the quote-unquote clobber passages, you know, those sections of the Bible that speak clearly against homosexuality. Obviously, that's part of how we understand homosexuality to be wrong, but really, if you take it all the way back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you understand what God's intention in creation was, and the procreation is a part of it, and marriage is a part of it, and this reflection of God's image, even the image of God being reflected in male and female, there's certain aspects and differences between those things that as we come together in marriage, we are able to more fully image God in that marriage union. And so there's something beautiful and helpful about that description, but also it's important for Christians to realize this isn't just a handful of passages that Christians have taken and kind of twisted because we don't like gay people or something. That's what you were told. But really, all of those passages about homosexuality are built on this foundation of what God's intention was in creation, and it's important not to forget that.
Amen. MD, let's talk a little bit about the phrase used, quote, clobber passages, yeah. C-L-O-B-B-E-R, because I know Andy Stanley has used that phrase a lot.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Whether the Bible says it in one verse or three dozen verses, if the Word of God, which is trying to open my eyes and turn me to Jesus and save my soul, that's, you know, what Scripture is. I believe God gave the human race His infallible Holy Word to get us saved.
Yeah.
But whether the Bible says something once or multiple times, I think it's wrong to say, oh, well, that verse is trying to clobber me.
Right.
No, that verse is trying to put me on the path of truth. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, nobody talks about the clobber passages regarding you shall not kill. you know, and says that, well, that's just limiting my ability to be a murderer, you know, and that really hinders my ability to fully live out in that way. No, I mean, we understand what the scripture is saying. Now, someone may feel like these things are harmful to them, but really we have to recognize underneath that is the Holy Spirit's conviction. And that's part of the power of the word, is that it brings conviction. And we recognize that we're wrong. That's the whole purpose of the law, is to show us that we are sinners before God, that we have broken his law, and that we stand in need of his redemption. And so, sometimes the truth does hurt. But, obviously sometimes Christians can use scripture in a way that is right. Not using it properly in love in the way that God would intend it. But to just unilaterally declare that these passages of scripture are harmful in and of themselves is reckless.
Well, guys, let me give you the ultimate clobber passage. All have sinned.
There you go.
That is the ultimate. Yeah. That does mean homosexuality. It does mean stealing. It does mean lying. It does mean adultery.
That's right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word means miss the mark. Yeah. You know, the whole idea of missing the mark. So all have sinned. Now, why in our day are we having to spend so much time on homosexuality and transgenderism? It's not because we are the ones that have made it the issue of the day. It is those that are advocating and the false teachers that is promoting this and our acceptance, not of those people, but of their lifestyle.
Yeah, well, when you think spiritually about it, you recognize how perfectly crafted homosexuality is to undercut the scriptures, to bring bondage to individuals. You know, you think about sexual sin and the spiritual bondage that brings, how ensnaring it is. I mean, these things are destructive to individuals. They're destructive to the body of Christ. They're destructive to the church. They're destructive to society. I mean, even in Leviticus 18, where we get the sexual prohibitions there, part of the reason that's said there is that you will not live as the pagan nations around you, so that the land does not vomit you out of its mouth. So there is this larger aspect of God's judgment that we don't want to bring upon ourselves, even as a nation, by embracing these things. And I think it's important for Christians to recognize that too.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about this, and by the way, folks, hermeneutics is really the discipline of accurately handling the Word of God. And so the way you read the Word, you believe what those words say, these are what we might call hermeneutical principles. Well, to say that, the Bible is just clear in the Old Testament and in 1 Corinthians 6, those are clobber passages, and therefore we'll disregard them. What that's essentially saying is the more vague something is, the more valid, and if it's very clear, we're going to disregard it. And that's not good hermeneutics at all. In fact, I would say the more clear the Bible gets, the more we really ought to pay attention to it. But MD, let me ask you this. In your opinion, in all of the research that you've done, how secure are our denominations and our churches? Are you concerned that major denominations, and by extension hundreds of churches, are they caving in on sexual deviancy, or are they standing strong to what the Word of God says, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the really troubling things, actually. It weighed on me very heavily in doing the research, is that these things are not clear. I mean, confusion has been introduced into the mix, and doubt and, you know, malevolent actors and all of these things are at work. So, I mean, even within Bible-believing, seemingly conservative denominations or churches, there are the introduction of new ideas into the mix. And sometimes these come in, you know, seemingly innocently, because, you know, a parent has a child who comes out, and then the parent is trying to wrestle through some of these things, and then they end up leaning in a bad path because they're trying to be loving or caring for the child or maintain a relationship. Some things are being brought from the top down, from church leadership that's moving in a new direction. So the need for discernment has never been higher, I don't think, in the church than it is right now.
As pastor, I remember, and I know I'm older than you guys, way older than MD, he and my youngest son, same age there. But anyway, I remember the first time as a pastor I had to deal with a child of members being in the homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah.
Again, they would come to me, what do you do? How do you accept? What do you receive? How far do you go? There's limits. You do not write them off. And I make this point, and I try to make it quite regularly, MD, and I want you to speak to it. The difference in the agenda that is being promoted of acceptance, of it being norm, and the individual that has been caught up into that lifestyle, there needs to be separation in our speech concerning those. Now, they probably won't accept it because they think if we, quote, attack the agenda, we attack them. And I know the old cliche, hate the sin, love the sinner. And it's a cliche, but it's a true cliche, right. Speak the truth in love, but we're to speak the truth.
Right. Yeah, I mean, cliches become such because there was truth that it was trying to convey and has been proven true as a pattern over time. But yeah, I mean, to your point, obviously, when you're dealing with an individual, there's a heart of love and sympathy and care, and you want to be able to speak the truth of God, but you also want to do so in a way that the person will recognize as loving and not immediately dismiss. Now, you're not always in control of that. You can't control how they're going to respond to the truth when it's presented to them, but you can be honest and consistent in that. But then in the larger scale, you also want to recognize that there is an agenda at work, and there is a larger movement, an activist movement within our culture to try and conform society to this larger agenda. And that is something that we should oppose with vehemence, because it is something that not only is bad for society, and it not just makes Christians uncomfortable, but it's damaging to those individuals who are trapped in the sin. Once you take something that is recognized as an abomination to God and you start praising it and celebrating and calling it pride, I mean, you're locking people into bondage potentially eternally, and that's damaging.
Yeah, it is. The issue of that, what was the first sin? Pride.
That's right.
That's the whole, and it's the bottom line of all of it.
It really is.
I determine who I am, where I'm going. I'm taking the place of God.
That's right.
Listen, we're going to take phone calls, and that number, you going to stay with us?
I will.
888-589-8840. Give us a question today. 888-589-8840. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network, and I want to give the telephone number and a Bible verse. In all of these discussions, it's good to know that we are complete in Christ. The number is 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question or comment, or you just want to you know, some clarity on these things we're talking about. Folks, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Word of God makes a wonderful promise.
Alex, let me share something with you real quick. I know I'm interrupting. We're having phone difficulties here in the studio. So if they'll keep making that call, they're trying to correct it, and you'll get through. So go ahead with your Bible verse. But I was afraid they were calling and couldn't get through. So we're working
all
on
right.
it. Go ahead.
Well, guys, isn't it a wonderful reality that it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. All things are made new. And so maybe you're listening to us, and yes, we are sinners. We are depraved, lost sinners separated from God. However, if you turn to Jesus and you say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. Dear Jesus, wash my sin away. Save me. When you come to Christ, you're brand new. You're not that identity you thought you were. In the eyes of God, you're redeemed. You're a saint. And guys, isn't it wonderful that whether the besetting temptation and sin was homosexuality or promiscuity or drunkenness or lying or just self-condemnation or blasphemy or atheism. Look, if you're in Christ, you're made brand new. I mean, isn't that just the most wonderful reality?
Amen. It is. And this is what we're saying. Listen, we're all sinned. And when I said the ultimate clobber, all have sinned. There are some sins that have greater consequences than others.
Sure.
And sometimes the consequences is to the individual. Sometimes it's to the family. But sometimes it is to the society. And so what's happened in our day, and I want you to speak to it, MD, what's happened in our day, marriage, that issue, and then identity, male and female, yes, it does harm to the individual. Yes, it does confusion in the family. But it does a detriment to the society in which we lived.
Yeah, and you can't escape that. And a lot of people have tried to minimize that. But even when you think in terms of divorce rates and single-parent homes and the impact of fatherlessness on our society, you can't help but see that the ramifications of the rise of the LGBT movement is a reflection of that. And you can't... You can't discredit and throw off God's law and not expect it'll have implications on individuals, families, societies. I mean, because the family is that building block of civilization. That's how God intended it to be. And so when you disintegrate that or you deconstruct that or you start to undermine what that was intended to be, there's devastating consequences across society over time.
Alex, let me say this, and you speak and go ahead, but when we studied the book of Judges, and it starts out, they did that which is right in their own eyes. They ended up that which is right in their own eyes. And you come to those last four chapters, and you see what men do to beyond measure. It speaks to us how society goes completely wrong. And even when they try to correct the wrong that they caused, they make a mess of that as well, Alex.
Mm-hmm. MD, let's talk about bodily autonomy.
Okay.
Because I've been at universities and, you know, whether the issue is like the sanctity of human life and standing for life, or whether it's homosexuality or even, you know, premarital sex, we are not free just to do anything, anytime, whatever. Speak to us about this just assumption that we have this unbridled bodily autonomy.
Real quick, before he does that, the phones are ringing, so call 888-589-8840.
Yeah, regarding bodily autonomy, it's interesting because no one really believes that. We still believe that there are certain limits that we should take with our body, things that are self-destructive. And so even though someone might say that they have a right to do something, they still recognize that there's destructive things that you're doing. But this is a very popular idea in our culture, basically because it gives you complete liberty and freedom to do whatever you would want without anyone saying that you shouldn't. And that it's that second part, I think, that is really key to it. you don't want someone to say that you shouldn't do what you're doing, or that there is a better way, or that there is some objective standard that you should try and live by and live underneath. And you know, going back to Psalm 2 and the king's throwing off the shackles of God and his son, I mean, that's what humans have been doing since Genesis chapter 3.
Let's go to Donna in Michigan. Donna, thanks for holding. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. You're on.
So my question is, I work at a Christian liberal arts college in Michigan, and we've recently hired somebody who is in a lesbian marriage and has been for approximately 8 years. She is a fabulous person. I really like her, but I don't know how to broach the subject with her of her marriage.
Okay, Donna, thank you for that. Are you, let me stay online. Do you have a class under her right now?
We work in a non-academic building together.
Together. Well, you're in a situation where you can approach her not necessarily as a professor and student. Takes a lot of courage, and you're taking a chance on them turning it against you. But if you're in a situation where you do that, you, no matter what, you sounds like you've established a relationship, and so therefore you can discuss it. Now, how do you bring it up? I would say I want to hear your story first. You know, be ready to hear her story, and then be ready with the scriptures to come back and say, you know, you're here in a Christian school, and God has said, and as MD said earlier, without using the so-called clobber passages, go back to what Adam and Eve were, and then also go to the New Testament and what Jesus said. MD, Ed, help us out with Donna.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're on the right track there, Bert. I mean, that's the idea, is that you, in carefulness and gentleness, you want to be able to present things, but because of the situation, there is an open door there. And it's, you're building the relationship, but you're also finding those ways to understand where that person has come from. What is her background? What kind of led her down this path? What are some of the personal hangups and issues that she has just as a person? And then you'll find a way to be able to speak God's truth into the situation. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that homosexuality may even be the first part of this conversation at all. But you know, it will probably get to that point because she knows of where you're coming from as a conservative Christian, and she knows maybe the context in which she is in, and so she may be hypersensitive to that. So just showing love and grace and a listening ear, I think, will go a long way in making inroads to the gospel there.
We're going to go to Ron in Tennessee. Ron, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we can't expect the pervert community, I fail to identify any of these people as one solid community that they speak of themselves as representing. I can't expect the pervert community to change until the church changes from being perverts. You know, we want to have our free relationships, free associations sexually until they're married, and that's okay. And we look the other way. I don't know why this isn't addressed. You know, the church is the perverts first and foremost that have to change their hearts. Remember in Exodus, it says, you shall have the word of the Lord on your doorposts, on your windowsills, on your lips when you come and go, on your clothes. You know, it was, that would be considered radical. So why doesn't the church consider it?
Ron, let me say, when you say the church, you're lumping a lot of people together. I would have trouble grouping all of those together. Like you said, you don't group the LBG, all the alphabet soup together. Do not do that to the church as well, because there are churches and individuals that are speaking loud and clear. In the book of Corinthians, you had those that were involved in sin. You can find it. Even in the church at Philippi, which was one of the strongest churches, you had issues there. MD, there are some churches that are standing strong.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are churches that are standing strong, and true Christians are trying to be consistent in how we apply this, whether we're talking about adultery within our own churches or the use of pornography. I mean, these are things that many Christians are deeply concerned about. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think to Ron's point, what he's trying to say is that there's that we need to recognize that we haven't always been consistent in that, and that there's many places where sin has been tolerated. And I would say in those cases, there needs to be repentance, there needs to be recognition of that, and there needs to be a turning back from what had been there before.
I want to be sure to get Julie in. Julie is in Kentucky. Thanks for holding. Welcome, Julie, to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is my first time to call, and I listen to this program every day when I'm on my way home from work. But I was looking for Brother Alex to pray for me. I come from a family that it's like my grandmother and her mother, and to go from there, were practicing sorcery like they're witches. And it looks like we all, like recently in 2018, my mama passed, and my grandmother confessed, and she said that she signed the contract, and the way that my mother passed away, it was a car accident, but really her body was like parts for us. And she died 2 weeks after go visiting her mother. And then after she passed, my grandmother went to her aunt and confesses like, it's me who did that, because my mama too left this to me, and sometimes they come and they say they're going to kill me. And that's why they start even taking my kid. And I just know all of this recently, and I'm just troubled. I mean, we are 8 kids in my family. And
Julie, forgive me for jumping in here. In the interest of time, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to encourage you in the strongest possible terms to go talk to a pastor, maybe even a Christian counselor. But also, it sounds like you may actually need legal representation, and we don't really give any legal advice on this show. But this sounds very serious. Be assured we will be praying for you, but Bird, I would just encourage her to build a team around her of a trusted pastor and or Christian counselor, but maybe even an attorney.
I would too, Julie. Again, we don't give legal advice. One of the first things I learned in pastoral care in seminary was know when to refer. And that is the area that I see. But you need some support, pastor. If you're not a part of a local church, get a part of a local church, and then do your best to be a Bible-believing church, and then try to get in a smaller group that can be there surrounding you in love and in prayer. We're going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for Julie. I pray, God, that you would direct her paths. I pray that you would give her strength and vision. She needs those things and the contacts she needs to make in order to have victory in this family and in her life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Julie.
Amen. Amen. Donna in Texas. Donna, thanks for holding. You're on Exploring the Word.
Hi. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to you all the time. But I have this friend. She's a good friend, and she's a Christian, loves Jesus, and she's a Democrat. And I've broached the subject of abortion with her. She believes in abortion, but what about all this other stuff? I mean, how can you really be a true believing Christian and be a Democrat? So do I broach the subject again? Because I plan to. Is that good?
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I think it's good, and I think it's very obedient and very courageous, because lovingly but clearly, you know, the Bible talks about helping people understand and believe the Word of God, and, you know, like Paul said, a more excellent way. So God bless you for caring enough about your friend to help her understand what God's Word says, because clearly, and this is a whole other subject for another day, and we'll be happy to explore it in depth, I just don't believe you can legitimately be a born-again Christian and be pro-abortion. You're going to have to amend your perspective in light of what God's Word says. So I applaud you for loving your friend enough to help them understand that they need to come over to the side of truth. Let me see. I want to see if we can get Wayne in Mississippi. Wayne, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. Good evening, brother. I listen to y'all. I want to ask you this. Yes, sir. I've been to quite a few Southern Baptist churches. Yes, sir. And they're preaching behind the pulpit, and I can't sit there telling those believers and the ones that's in that congregation they're lost. They cannot say that person, he or she, cannot be saved in the tribulation. And that's false teaching.
Okay, Bert, can people be saved in the tribulation?
It says there's a whole multitude that were coming out of the great tribulation, a whole multitude. Alex, sounds like there's going to be a lot of folks saved during that period of time. But let me tell you, get saved now. Today's the day of salvation. You don't want to wait. Hey, MD, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
Go to our resource center, AFA Resource Center, look for Dangerous Affirmation and The God Who Speaks, and In His Image, all of them. We find MD's handprints on all of them.
Yes,
thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.